The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
More cursed franchise right now, the Chargers or the Falcons? That's really the question. They will figure out a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Justin Herbert's good, very, very. I think he's the best rookie quarterback so far, but who would you rather be, Herbert or Tua right now? Herbert, Tua, or Burrow? Who'd you rather be? Oh, it's not even close. Tua Tagovailoa on a good Dolphins team in Miami? Whew. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So, all right, real quick, Bucs Saints. Excuses come out for Tom Brady. He was bad. Forget about the interceptions. He was all around bad. So was the defense. But just like Brady got credit for righting the ship after that bad loss to Chicago where they made a lot of mental errors, including Brady. And then the next week they come out and beat the hell out of the Packers where they made almost no mental errors that I could see. Doesn't surprise me. And I gave everyone gave Brady enormous credit along with the defense. Well, they deserve criticism when they lose to their divisional rivals for the second time in the season. They lost week one, but now they're coming on and the Saints have to reintegrate two big offensive pieces in Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, right? They got to figure out that. And they bring in Quan Alexander, the linebacker, because the defense seemed to regress from the last couple years. And how's that? And the Bucs are streaking. They beat the hell out of the Packers. They beat the Giants. Okay, maybe in retrospect now that looks like backsliding, but the Giants are playing teams competitively. And it's not just that they lost. They got shellacked. And Breeze shows you. Give him his weapons back. And he looks good. Not a lot of yards through the air per pass for Drew Breeze. Because, you know, he never had a super strong arm. And now he's a million years old. But give him his weapons and see what happens. I love the Emmanuel Sanders pickup before the season. That's what they've been missing for several years now. A real number two receiver. So their running back, Kamara, is not their second best receiver. And I like the Quan Alexander pickup at the trade deadline, essentially. Bring in a real player, a guy who's good. You could say, well, he's just a guy, a jag. No, he's a good linebacker. That's a nice little addition. Because on the upper end, the Saints have what they need. They needed to get a little stronger in some kind of fundamental, like a good number two receiver, a good linebacker. I like it. I think they're the team to beat in the NFC at the moment. Flying under the radar. I even said it last. By the way, I brought this up last year, too. I was like, have we forgotten about Mahomes? Remember the Chiefs and Mahomes started flying really under the radar middle of the season? And I was like, is everyone forgetting Mahomes and the Chiefs? And what? We're not talking about that. And then sure enough, people caught on, Raj. I've been saying this about the Saints recently. Like, have we just forgot about the Saints? I think it's because when you think about it's really an indictment on the public's perception of Breeze. People think of Tom Brady, he's still got it because he has a stronger arm. You think of Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, these are supermen, right? You think of Russell Wilson, same thing. Like, boy, those guys are different. Lamar Jackson has super ability. You look at Breeze, and yes, he's still very accurate, but you don't believe the arm as much. And so the offense, especially when they're missing pieces, not as dynamic, and he kind of like, well, we don't really, I don't know. They were my preseason pick until the Jamal Adams move for the Seahawks. And I had him as one of two. And given the way the Seattle defense has looked so far, I think the Saints, if you had to ask me right now, at this moment, who should be the favorites out of the NFC, I think the Saints. Meantime, can I talk about Patrick Mahomes for a second? People were saying, hey, Brady's in the MVP race. Let's see what he does. He's going to take the lead because Russell Wilson falters. Brady's not in any MVP race. By the way, neither is Russell Wilson. Not really. Even Aaron Rodgers. Guys, I wanted to tell you a little something about Patrick Mahomes. Oh, before I do, because this reminds me. Shame on the Bucs for kicking that field goal. What Bush League nonsense. You're down 100,000 points, and you're kicking a field goal on fourth down? Why? So you don't get shut out? Bush League. I'm counting that as a mental shutout. That was disgraceful. Kicking a field goal. So yeah, we're just not trying to win. We just don't want to be embarrassed. What you did was more embarrassing by kicking that field goal. Anyway. Max, what do you know? You ever have the shoulder pads on? No, but On any level, no. Pee-wee, nothing, no. But I used to put Madden in franchise mode. I did. And I wouldn't play, but I would simulate seasons. And sometimes I would win a Super Bowl. I'm not going to sit here and say that I ever repeated. It's hard to repeat. But I did put it in franchise mode, GM the team. I did that little cheating thing where you could sign free agents and then trade them for low draft picks and then bundle draft picks and move up. And you know what I mean? I did that. The red paperclip theory, Raj. You know about red paperclip theory?
Tell me about it.
I started with a red paperclip. And he said, let me see what I can trade for this red paperclip. And what he found was through trading people something of lesser value, but it's an area of need for them, you could wind up with much, much greater value. So he traded a red paperclip for a broken doorknob, but a broken doorknob for something. And he kept doing this till he wound up with a house. Turned a red paperclip into a house. And I applied that theory, Raj, to Madden franchise mode. I did.
Yeah. All right.
So, no, I didn't have the shoulder pads on. But, yes, no. I think that background, GMing in franchise mode and then simulating seasons,
mm-hmm.
15 years ago. I haven't done it recently. Can't lie. I think that means that I have standing to say what the Bucks did was disgraceful. I really was. Like, if I was a Bucks fan, I'd be like, no, you did not do that. You kicked a field goal so you wouldn't get shut out. What a punk move.
Mm.
That's a punk move. Kicking a field goal so you don't get shut out. Man, you need 8 points right there. I don't want to hear that. Anyway, 888-SAY-ESPN. So Patrick Mahomes. Now to Patrick Mahomes. Do you understand this man has thrown 25 touchdowns this year against one interception? And the lone interception was when they were down to the Raiders 9 points. It was 4th and 7. Notice he wasn't trying to kick a field goal, Raj. He went for his. Grown man, B.I. Went for his. That's the one interception. Stephen A. and Ryan Clark and I were arguing on First Take about this. And you know how I say Kobe Bryant and Allen Iverson had a baby and it was Russell Westbrook? Or Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson had a baby and it was LeBron James? The greater the players that make the next generation in that concept, the greater that next player. Like, Kobe's amazing, and AI was amazing, and they went, Westbrook's amazing. But MJ is the greatest ever, and Magic's the greatest passer ever, right? And they made LeBron. You know who made Patrick Mahomes? Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre had a baby. They made Patrick Mahomes. Because Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Clark talked about the risk-taking that Mahomes does, a little more than Rodgers. He has a little more Favre in him with the, hey, you're having fun out there. But, and Stephen A. was talking about, yeah, but I haven't seen, you know, Rodgers can do anything Mahomes could do. And Ryan Clark said, yes, he can, but he doesn't. It's not that I've seen anything Mahomes do something that Aaron Rodgers is incapable of doing, but he has a different kind of personality. He might not even try it. Mahomes is like Favre minus all the bad mistakes. He's like Rodgers having a little more fun. 25 touchdowns to one bogus interception. Raj, do you understand they're 8-1? Consider this. Mahomes threw 50, the first time he started, 3 seasons ago, he went 50 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, should have won the Super Bowl, but a pre-snap penalty in the AFC Championship game gave the ball back to Brady after Brady had ended the game with an interception. Mahomes never got to touch the ball again, and they lost. They should have won that game. The game was already over. They play the Rams. They beat the Rams. I don't want to hear that. That was the lowest scoring Super Bowl in the history of Super Bowls. Lowest scoring one. You think they would have kept the Chiefs to that score? Get out of here. Chiefs would have stomped them. Now, he follows that up the next season. He improves his touchdown to interception ratio and wins Super Bowl MVP by calling his own number in the moment of truth, dropping 15 steps and throwing a 60-yard pass. Get out of here! Now this season, folks, 25-1, he might throw, like, combine his first 2 years more than 50 touchdowns, but with a better TD to interception ratio than he had the following year. Regular season MVP and Super Bowl MVP. And the reason we've been talking so much Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, when Mahomes been right there with him the whole time, is we already have Mahomes fatigue. Like, it's already where Jordan was. Do you understand MJ from his third season? MJ hit the league, averaged 28 points as a rookie, and was not yet the best player in the world, but was among them already as a rookie. Next year, he gets hurt, but he comes back at the end of the season, plays the Celtics in the playoffs, no other players on the team, just Jordan, gives Larry Bird and them 63 points. At Boston Garden. And afterwards, Larry Bird said, that's God in a basketball uniform. Like, Bird, who was, I was a kid at the time, like, that's the best player I've ever seen, Larry Bird. Better than Magic. Like, Bird was unanimously considered the best player in basketball. Won the MVP every year, his team won championships. Best scorer, you know, just as genius a player as Magic, but with a better shot. Bird took one look at Jordan and was like, oh, no, that dude's better than me. Sorry. And Bird was the cockiest dude in the world. Was like, nah, I ain't got nothing for this dude. Right? That was his second season. Michael Jordan came back healthy his third season. Should have won the MVP for 10 years after that. But he hadn't won a championship yet. That was an excuse when he averaged 37 not to give it to him. Then the next year, 32-8-8, and they didn't win a championship. So they give him an MVP. By the time he won, he three-peated, then came back and three-peated again. In that era, it's like, well, what are we going to do? Give the MVP to Michael Jordan every year? He already has five of them. Six of them, whatever it was. Six finals MVPs. What are we never going to give it to Malone or Barkley? Let's start giving out the sympathy award. All right, here's the Michael Jordan's MVP, so he doesn't get it every year. That's what Mahomes is going to turn the NFL into. He's not going to win as many MVPs as he ought to because people are just going to have fatigue. What, are you going to give it to Mahomes again? I'm telling you right now. Rodgers has been great this year. Russell Wilson's been great. Casey Joyner, the football scientist, comes on this show to talk about the fact that you want to shoot, you know, lesser teams want shootouts, right? The Chiefs don't want shootouts because it gives the other team a chance to win. Russell Wilson is asked to win shootouts every week, and 75% of the time he does. He's having a great year. You really think Russell Wilson's having as good a year as Patrick Mahomes? I know Mahomes has a great head coach and a great offensive coordinator, and they scheme guys open, and he has weapons everywhere he looks. I get that. And an underrated defense even. I get it. But the only I've ever seen who can play like Mahomes is Rodgers. And if you force me to choose between the two, I'll take Mahomes because he also has that. He's like a risk taker like Favre was, minus the downside of the risk. He has Aaron Rodgers' ability and smarts, but Favre risk-taking quality, or so it seems, except where's the downside to the risk? It's not a risk if you're only, like, if you keep placing smart bets. And on top of all that, he has what Brady had, which is a great coach and a great system around him, a great setup. 888-SAY-ESPN. Alex in New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how's it going?
Go ahead,
Alex. I think Josh Allen has proven after yesterday that he's the second best quarterback in the AFC, and I think that Buffalo might be the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs on their road to the Super Bowl.
Well, McDermott, that whole coaching staff, Josh Allen, the defense, they deserve a lot of credit. I agree. The Bills are going to be a problem for the Chiefs. They're going to be a problem. The Bills are no gimme. And I haven't even really gotten into that. Josh Allen, he's not in the MVP conversation because he hit a dry run for about 3 or 4 games. But before that, he was in the MVP conversation. And maybe by the time the season's over, he can work his way back in. I can't put him in there because he had a spell of games where he just wasn't that good. He wasn't the worst either, but he wasn't that good. But he's in a good situation. By the way, the AFC East all of a sudden. The Dolphins are real, and the Bills are real. And Brady got out of there just in time. His entire career, the best guy he played against basically was Chad Pennington, right? Who was a nice little quarterback. Not a great arm, but a nice quarterback. That was the best he'd faced in his entire career in the AFC East. And all of a sudden, oh, damn, you see that Dolphins team with Tua? Ooh, look at the Bills with Josh Allen. Where's Tom Brady? He's in the NFC South now. Oh, Brady has better brand management than LeBron. News from Max Kellerman Nation. Alex just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call, and I made a good point. Josh Allen and the Bills present a real challenge, I think, for the Chiefs. And you have to mention the Bills coaching staff. McDermott on down is really good. McDermott on down. Chris in Pennsylvania, you want to defend the Bucs field goal? Go ahead.
No. I don't want to defend them at all. I just want to say, to make it worse, as it was against the Saints' second team.
Ugh. I'm sorry, because by your name it says Chris, Pennsylvania. Bucs wasn't, field goal wasn't Bush League, yeah. But you think it was. No, not I only Bush League, it's worse.
It is. Against the second team defense.
Yeah. It was like, you're watching that, you're going, oh, come on, that's beneath you guys, really? What do you think that does? If players get like, criticized for, like, you know, missing shots on purpose to get triple-doubles, right? Like, we've seen that, like, oh, come on, man. That what are you doing? That's like a dude wanting to hit for the cycle, and he just needs a triple. And he could, you know, somehow he could have an inside-the-ballpark home run. He's like, ah, let me stop on third base. I want a triple. No, I guess that's not like that, because that's not as good for you. But you get my drift. It gets the second team just to avoid a shutout. You kick a field goal down 100,000 points. PU, news from Max Kellerman Nation. Chris just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Marcus in Georgia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
I think Justin Herbert should be Rookie of the Year.
I agree. Justin Herbert's the best rookie this year. I totally
and
agree.
And I don't want to hear about Anthony Lynn being fired. Mm-hmm. Or possibly being fired. Do you think he's going to get fired, though?
They seem to figure out a way to lose. I don't envy... Listen, if you're playing for an L.A. team and you have... And you have a quarterback like that, and you're still figuring out ways to lose. No, I think he's okay only because unless they really don't like what they're seeing, like the analytics and stuff, you got to give a rookie quarterback and a team time to build around them. I agree. Justin Herbert has been the best rookie of this year. He's been better than Joe Burrow and so far better than Tua. But I don't know if I would say long term I want Justin Herbert over Burrow and Tua. But right now he's outplayed them. It's true. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to honor our veterans by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. This country doesn't do enough for our veterans. Learn more about their Keys to Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. Steelers remain undefeated, but are they still among the AFC's elite? Which Raj spelled with an E instead of an I?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
There's one undefeated team in football, ladies and gentlemen, in the NFL. And that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're 8-0. And they rallied. They had to rally to beat the Cowboys. I got to say, Mike McCarthy, I thought was a bad hire. A lot of people thought it was a good hire. I thought it was a bad hire from the beginning. But the last 2 weeks have shown me something. I thought they came out ready to play against the Eagles, and they were obviously ready to play against Pittsburgh. Now, Minkah Fitzpatrick is a stud. He made some plays, and you're starting your 11th string quarterback, who played okay. Guess what? You're probably going to lose to the only undefeated team in the league. Now, it is also true that even though the Cowboys only have 2 wins on the season and we're more than halfway there, they're still only a half game back in the NFC East. So they really have stuff to play for. It's unbelievable. That's the one caveat. Is there only a half game out? Oof. Boy, this NFC East stinks. Now, Micah Fitzpatrick had to knock away a pass in the end zone for the second week in a row to preserve the Steelers' 24-19 win. And Garrett Gilbert making his first career start. I thought the Cowboys found something there. That's a nice little performance. That's a backup quarterback. You got Dak Prescott, and if this guy can play like that, you got a little something. But people, remember the Cowboys. And by the way, you know what's perplexing to me? When I look at talent at the linebacker position, I know Sean Lee was like had injury problems. He's 100 years old now, but Van Der Esch and Smith, they had costly penalties. Think of last year, how often they were exploited. Their kind of over-eagerness was exploited by opposing offenses. This should be the best linebacker tandem in the NFL, really. But they're consistently exploited. They have too much talent for it to be going down like this. One of the reasons I liked the Cowboys' future a couple years ago was the depth at linebacker in terms of elite talent. Like, it's one thing to have a lot of guys who can kind of play. It's another thing to be like, damn, they have some guys who are going to be elite, like cream of the crop type guys, and they have multiple guys at linebacker who can do that, which allows you a lot of flexibility in a modern defense, a lot of flexibility. But instead of being a point of strength, I think it's a point of weakness for this Cowboys team. But remember, even with Dak Prescott, who's showing his value, it's true, they were 8-8 last year. The Eagles didn't have anyone on the team. Everyone was hurt. And Carson Wentz played poorly in the second half of the season. Put it this way. He was a mid-pack quarterback. Carson Wentz kept turning it over on third down in the fourth quarter last year. And he did it against the NFC East, which was the worst team in football. And even though he would win those games because they were lucky to recover the ball sometimes, even then, when you looked at, like, if it was against the Giants and Daniel Jones, you looked at the way Washington played against Daniel Jones or even Dallas, or if it was against one of the backup quarterbacks in Washington, you see the way the Giants or Dallas played against that guy. Wentz and always looked worse against that NFC East team, than these other rookie quarterbacks and backup quarterbacks did. And even in that sorry state, the Cowboys couldn't win the division. And that was with Dak Prescott. So the Cowboys, if you were like, is this a rebuilding thing? Well, remember when last year there were serious people who picked them to go to the Super Bowl last year. And this year on paper, it appeared they improved. Drafted CeeDee Lamb after all. Got rid of Jason Garrett. So because of the amount of publicity the Cowboys get, I think we tend to overrate their players because we're more familiar with them. In a sport where a lot of people aren't, like we could name the entire offensive line on the Cowboys. When you know Travis Frederick and like you know the whole line, Zach Martin, you can name the line. You can't name the line on all the other teams. So we tend to overrate them. In fact, when you look closely, they were close to a rebuild when they thought they were going to get ready to go to the Super Bowl. And I love Cowboys Steelers because of when I was growing up, there were two out of market teams you could root for. Cowboys and Steelers. If you were a decent human being who was raised right and you loved football, you rooted for the Steelers. And if you were defective and rotten to the core, you rooted for the Cowboys if those are your out-of-market team. And when they play each other, the old heads are like, oh, look at that, Cowboys Steelers. Doesn't happen all the time, right? But look at that. It was a good game, even though you have an undefeated team and an almost winless team. It was a good game. A lot to get to. Okay, I'm exhausted already. Okay, got into Mahomes. I still really haven't talked Russell Wilson and Josh Allen. Let me do this quickly right now, Raj. I got to spend a minute on this, and then I'll get to all my reads and the calls and all everything. We don't have a lot of show left, okay? The Bills are a well-coached team with a real defense and a quarterback who, if used properly, can do damage. they represent to me an actual threat in the AFC to the Chiefs. The Seattle Seahawks have not really had Bobby Wagner with Jamal Adams for an extended period where they're healthy and they're like playing in the flow of things, you know? And I think that will make a difference because these are two upper echelon difference makers on defense, playmakers. But they're not at sexy positions, right? If one of them was a defensive end and the other was a corner, we'd think about it differently. But a linebacker and a safety have an impact on the game in less obvious kind of flashy ways. Nevertheless, they have a big impact, especially on the level Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams play. Let's see what happens when Jamal Adams gets his legs under him for a little bit, and the two of them are on the field together. I think the Seahawks defense will stiffen up just enough to let Russ cook. By the way, even yesterday, let's not forget, it felt like a blowout, right? Late in the third quarter, I think there were 2 minutes left. It was a one-score game. Russ was leading a little comeback. It was a one-score game late in the third. Seattle didn't have enough, but that was a one-score game late in the third. By the way, all the DraftKings advice to take Lockett instead of DK Metcalf really screwed me. Although, Raj, I think I'm going to win this week, right? Unless someone goes nuts.
You got a healthy lead, man. I don't see anyone catching.
I got like 30 points.
Yeah, no, you should think this week you got it locked up there.
Yeah. I wonder how many times I've won this year already, because there's six guys in the league, and this is, what, week 9?
I think you and I have won the most this year.
Again. And I was off to a slow start this year. Boy, we just dominate this league. Mm. We should have Mace and Ben Lyons and Bill and Nick Tutts on to gloat. Let's have them on. Rub it in their face a little bit. That's what a good winner does. See if Cam can get back on track tonight. Boy, could you imagine if they lose this game? Whew, there's actually enormous pressure on the Patriots, although I had a thought about that, Raj. I'm not even going to tease it because we have calls coming up. What if they wind up with two wins, the Pats? Because, you know, you start reading things like Belichick isn't taking this season seriously because of COVID. What if they wind up with Justin Fields? You think they can't? If you lose to the Jets, you might mess around and wind up with two wins. Just like Belichick and the Patriots to wind up with Justin Fields, like Popovich wound up with Tim Duncan once upon a time.
Max, the podcast.
Monday Night Football previews brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Jets, Pats, I'll tell you what. Talk about a game that should decide a franchise. If the Patriots lose to the Jets, pack it in and go for, even if it's not Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. Go get a quarterback, hold you down for 15 years. Or hold it down. Not hold you down, bring you up. And if you're forget about if you're the Jets. Who cares if you're the Jets? If you win and you're the Patriots, you're 3-5. And you could easily look at the season and think, two plays away. Goal line stand in Seattle. That was one loss. Goal line stand stopped you. Bobby Wagner prevented Cam Newton from scoring. And then Cam Newton getting strips or fumbling the ball. Getting the ball stripped against the Bills. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're 3-5, you say, oh, whoa, we're 3-5, but we're almost 5-3. Got wins against the Raiders and the Dolphins. And if you won those games against the Bills and the Seahawks, boy, that's a whole different situation. Cam Newton looking like a Super Bowl contender. But if you're 3-5, you're still thinking like, okay, wait a minute. Let's see what happens with the AFC East. Let's see what happens with the Bills and the Dolphins. They're not that, you know, we're not out of it yet. You cannot lose to the Jets. Although, is the best thing for them to lose to the Jets? You pack in this season and wind up with Justin Fields? Can you imagine Belichick gets his hands on a quarterback like that? You're like, are you guys kidding me? Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water, see how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
Mitch in Fort Worth, go.
What up, Matt? Hey, this is about the field goal Tampa Bay. It's obvious. There's only one reason. Four words. Joe Biden prop bet.
Prop bet, huh? Why is it a... I'm not sure what he means. What's that?
Joe put some money on that field goal. He needed that field goal to win a prop bet.
Oh, I see. I don't know. There was a joke in there somewhere. I'm not sure. Alex in Ohio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, Alex, we're not off to exactly a rip-roaring start, but there's still time. Go ahead.
All right, yeah, I was calling to see if people actually start talking about the Saints in a series, the playoffs, even a Super Bowl contender. I feel like everybody kind of just, like, puts them under the bus sometimes.
I agree with you. First of all, the Saints in recent years were victimized by bad calls. Nevertheless, they were playoff powerhouses for a lot of those years. And one of the reasons they didn't get over the top, I felt, was that they did not have a legit number two receiver. They have it now in Emmanuel Sanders. Part of it is an indictment against the public's perception of Drew Brees. We believe in Aaron Rodgers, even still Tom Brady. Believe in, obviously, Mahomes and Russell Wilson. But people are looking at Brees a little side-eyed, like, he's still accurate, but so few yards per attempt through the air. Yeah, because Sanders and Thomas haven't been playing, and he's 100 years old. But Brees is still super accurate. Peyton's an excellent coach. They brought in a real linebacker in Quan Alexander to shore up the defense, which has been pretty good for a dynamic offensive team in recent years. Kamara's balling. I agree. I think the Saints at this moment should be favorites in the NFC. Cam, you cannot lose to the Jets.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.